What's up, guys? Welcome to New Jersey Campus Midweek.
Come on, Rob.
It is exciting to be together. The fall semester is here. Fall 2018, the start of a new school year. It is a very exciting time. And, you know, tonight is our kickoff night for the new year, the new semester. Yeah. It's going to be a time to pray, to capture vision, to plan, to dream together. It's going to be very exciting and very inspiring time together. Come on. You know, I want to jump right into it here, kind of welcoming back. First of all, let's welcome back everybody who's away for the summer. Or don't stand up, but Sydney, I see you. Ajane, it's good to have you guys back. Welcome back. Also want to welcome the disciples that have come in from the teen ministry. Yeah! We got Tatiana. Welcome you guys, it's great to have you. While we're welcoming people, let's welcome our new brother in Christ, Joseph and Lori. So I thought it was so exciting to see Joseph baptized on Sunday and make Jesus Lord. And it's just great to have new people here with us. And obviously it's bittersweet that recently we've seen people move on from our campus and move away, like Nadir and Charles and David and different people, but do want to encourage you that we have one brother who decided that although he graduated, he said, for the fall semester, I'm going to stay here and help with the campus ministry. And so Andre is going to be in our grad program, helping stay on campus. So he said, I'm staying to help, so if you need help, he's looking for it, so ask him. So thank you, Andre. We're happy to have you. And you know, already this year we've seen amazing things happen, haven't we? The Spirit is definitely moving. And tonight we get to look and move forward to what God has in store for us next. And so as I get started here, I want to encourage you just to really try your best to connect tonight, to connect with what we're talking about, what's presented, to really pay attention and to give your whole heart to what's being talked about. Take notes, write stuff down, get ideas, take ideas. It's going to be a great time together tonight. And I do want to say, I know it's hot in here, and don't let that distract you or get you down, right? We got some water bottles over here. Just don't let Satan use the heat against us, right? But say, you know what? I'm going to be here wholeheartedly anyway. And so connect, pay attention, give your heart, and let's make this an exciting time together. What we're going to do is I'm just going to give an overview of some of the plans for the school year, for the semester. And then we'll get into the Bible a little bit together and then have some time of prayer. And then close it out together here with some exciting stuff. So I'm going to start with probably the most obvious, which is just the plan for Sunday worship. So this fall will be, you know, with the rest of the Garden State Church and our region of the New York City Church of Christ at Clifton High School. You know, we'll be back together there in 2 weeks. This Sunday, we're having a park service at Verona Park. Right. So it's at 11 o'clock, Verona Park in the area with shade. So be there this Sunday, and then every Sunday for the semester we'll be at Clifton High School worshiping with the rest of our region together at 10 o'clock. Sundays, it's a great time to fellowship, to connect with people outside of the campus ministry, to obviously hear lessons, to pray, to sing, to take communion, give contributions. Sundays are always a great time every week, so that's what we're doing there. Family groups and Bible talks. So, you know, our ministry is broken down into three family groups, the East, North, and Central, which each have their own kind of group of Bible talks within them. And so we got the East family group, and they're going to have Bible talks at Rutgers Newark, NJIT, and a women's Bible talk at Seton Hall. And so, you know, can we just have the Bible talk leaders for those groups stand up, and let's just give it up for them right now. Way, and I know we're just going to see amazing things happen on those schools this semester. And then we got the North family group led by Mark and Jessica. And so they're going to have a Bible talk, one big old Bible talk at Willie P. And so Mark and Jessica, let's have them stand up. Give it up for them. And then kind of Central slash West, we're going to have three Bible talks at Montclair. And then one at CCM. So let's have our Montclair and CCM Bible talk leaders stand up. Kyrie and Marie are going to be spearheading the Central Family Group. So exciting stuff. Thank you guys for serving, for leading. Let's make Bible Talks awesome this school year, right? One thing we're going to try this semester is having a kind of a theme for our Bible Talks. So instead of random stuff, we're going to kind of have a theme across our ministry for Bible Talks. And so what we're doing for Bible Talks is what we're calling the Relevant Series. And so this is Hope Worldwide Club at Willie Peace Flyer right here. But, you know, you could use this as much. You could still just say, hey, we're having Bible Talks if you want to come. But if you want to kind of use this pitch for this theme, this is something we're doing to try to appeal people to come to Bible Talk. It's called the Relevant Series. And every week we're going to be talking about relevant topics going on in the world or in people's lives and how Jesus can help with that or is the hope for that. Amen. And so we might be talking about poverty or things with about unity in culture or even stuff like are science and God enemies or friends? And just different things that, you know, our Bible Talk topics are going to kind of be things to help maybe less religious people as well as religious people want to come check out Bible Talk. So those are going to be great. Pray for them. Make sure you know, hey, what Bible Talk am I in and how you can do your part in that to make it great, because every part is definitely needed for those. Moving on, Friday nights, you know, we call family night or traditionally Devo. Devo stands for devotion, right? So we want to be devoted to the body on Friday nights. So Friday night is, you know, family night Friday. And these are going to be every Friday, basically, at 7 o'clock, wherever we're meeting with whatever we're doing. And so, you know, we'll keep having all New York campus Devos the first Friday of the month. And then we just got a lot of really fun stuff planned, some different events that are, I think, going to be a blast. And, you know, to help you guys out, we actually made, you know, we got a calendar made that we're going to, I'm going to text and email out to you guys tonight. Printed copies will be available next week once Montclair lets us do free printing there. And so I'll text and email them out, look, printed copies, and so that you can see ahead of time what we're looking at for midweek every week and what we're doing for Friday every week. The locations aren't on there for Friday because some still need to be figured out, but you'll at least know what we're doing. And hopefully that helps you with inviting people and planning your own schedule and stuff. Right. But I do just want to say about Fridays that these are a really special and important time together.
Yeah.
You know, there's the things that are quote-unquote obviously spiritual, like praying and fasting and reading the Bible. And then there's other stuff that we see in the Bible and the church that are just as spiritual. And that's like relationship building and being family and friends with one another. You know, I just read the book of 3 John the other day for my quiet time, which is just one chapter, so that sounds impressive. It's one chapter. But, you know, it just says in there, you know, dear friend, and then it says greet the friends that are there. You know, and just the word friend is used probably more than any other word in the book of 3 John. You know, so such a big part of our ministry is friendship, and we really want to use Fridays to build relationships, encouragement, unity, fellowship, have fun together. And not just be like people that are like, yeah, we go to church together, but where really friendships are built. And obviously do stuff that's great to invite people to that might not want to come to a church service or something like that. But, you know, in Acts chapter 2, we see a snapshot of the early church and it really being lifted up. And what it says about them, it says they were devoted to the fellowship. All of them were together. Every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. You know, there's more to be said about like unity and relationships there than really anything else. And so I just want to encourage you to increase your devotion in your heart, your mind, and in practice to Friday nights. You know, I do look at, we take attendance sometimes, right? And we look at, not sometimes, most of the time. And so, you know, if I look at Wednesday, Friday, there's a lot less people there Friday than on Wednesday. And I wonder if that's because just some don't think of it as spiritually or as important as when we're looking at the Bible and praying like this. But it's just as important to be together for really showing your love, right? It's like, hey, if we're doing something in the Bible, I'll be there. But if it's just to hang out with each other, I'll treat it a little less. No, this is still really important, you know? And I just want to encourage you to increase your devotion. You know, when Friday's coming around, if something's coming up, don't be so quick to write off Devo, right? Like, get advice about it. Prioritize being together and have that spiritual perspective. Know this is important and being there and even thinking, who am I bringing, you know, and trying to get people there with you. And so I would love to see, you know, it's not like it's a ghost town on Fridays or anything, but it does have less, you know, than the other times we're together. And so I just want to encourage those of you that maybe have felt like It's not as important to change your thinking on that and think, man, Jesus built friendship and family, and that's what we're trying to do Fridays, and I want to do that too. Amen? So this Friday is going to be a men and women split bonding night. And so there's going to be, you know, two sleepovers happening. One is Ziamara's for the women, and one out at a Newton Church building that Vinny hooked us up with for the men. And so, you know, Friday night, we're really kind of viewing this as a members of our campus ministry only time, just to really bond and get unified for the fall together. So, you know, obviously do your best to stay overnight. If there's a good reason you can't, totally get it. But try your best to be there overnight. It'll start Friday at like 7 and end in the morning on Saturday, unless you could stay around later. But there's more info in the weekly email about that. The other thing about Friday is, instead of fasting today, we decided let's fast on Friday, which I'm glad because of how hot it is in here. But so what we're going to do is, as a ministry, we'll take Friday to fast. So I encourage you to fast on Friday, and then at the men and women split night, we'll break the fast together. And so that'll be a special time. So plan on fasting Friday, maybe even having prayer calls with somebody or something. But this Friday, sleepover and fasting during the day. Also coming up is our annual LBI retreat. So exciting. You guys know this is one of the most special times of the year. This is only 2 weeks away, right? 2 weeks is our LBI retreat. And so here's the thing with this. It's only $30. The church is covering a little over half of it for everybody. Wow. So it's $30. We'll be collecting the money soon. But what I need you to do is to RSVP to Matt as soon as possible. So if you're not sure, don't RSVP. But once you're sure, I'm definitely going, text Matt or email Matt and say, hey, I'll be there. Right? Because we already booked rooms. They're all filled up, so there's no more to book more if we fill them up. So get your room. We're definitely prioritizing members of our ministry first, and then people who are seriously studying the Bible and really seeking God can get the extra spaces that are left after that. And so we can't get more room, so we're trying to use it that way. And so RSVP to Matt, and there's definitely some extra space to bring some people with us too. But it's going to be an amazing time together. We'll talk about it more as it gets closer, but be praying for that and prepared for that. Save your $30 and text Matt, the LBI retreat, September 14th to 16th. It's going to be awesome. Great. So midweeks. We'll keep having midweeks right here every Wednesday. This is not clicking. I think it is frozen.
Keep going.
So we'll have midweeks every Wednesday at 7:30 right here at St. James. And, you know, these are a great time to unite in spirit and conviction together, to build relationships, to worship, to pray. And I'm just excited about just the series that we've got coming up. And so this is good timing, actually, because we're going to go ahead and... do you guys want to hear what our new theme is? So to show you, Mark actually made a video to roll out our new theme. So Mark is very appropriately at the computer, and here's our new theme for midweeks. So you guys excited? Fit Life? Yeah! End of the semester. You know, Fit Love, you can open up to Luke chapter 9 here or just listen to me read it, but you know, we're really excited about this theme of fit life and this caption that goes with it from the scripture in Luke 9:62. That this year, this fall, we want to live a life fit for service in the kingdom of God. And so in Luke 9, you know, Jesus starts off in verse 57 and deals with two guys who, he says, hey, come follow me. And these guys give excuses. And then in verse 61 is a third guy. It says, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.
Right.
And so Jesus says this here, and we want to kind of not be the people that don't, but be the people who do, you know? Well, be the people that don't look back, not the people that do, right? We want to be the people who are fit for service in the kingdom of God. People who, when Jesus calls you to follow him, you say, all right, Jesus, I will follow you anywhere, and I am not looking back.
Amen.
You know, a fit life is a life fit for service, following Jesus and building and serving in the kingdom of God. You know, what we see in Luke 9 is that a lot of people will make excuses about following Jesus, about why they're not going to follow Jesus. Or some people become disciples and decide to follow Jesus, but then turn away or follow, but aren't staying focused and wholeheartedly in following Jesus. I think with this theme, what I want to encourage is that will not be us. Now, that the men and women in this room won't be people who make excuses or follow and then turn our back or follow half-heartedly, but we'll be people who put our hand to the plow and we follow Jesus wholeheartedly in the service of building his kingdom. You know, that's going to be you, and you're not going to be someone who turns away from God or makes excuses or only gives half your heart. You know, we'll stay focused as Jesus is calling us to, focused on following Jesus and focused on serving him in the great work of building his kingdom. You know, so what do we got up here right now? Let me go back here. Fit life. And so, you know, when Jesus says here, anyone who looks back, this is obviously a terminology referring to farming in some way, right? And so, you know, you got people who would put their hand to the plow and then they would plow a field. And so, you know, you've got only a certain amount of land and plants, seeds have to be planted a certain distance from each other. And so they have certain lanes for certain distances. And here's the thing is Jesus is saying, look, if you put your hand to the plow and you're planting these seeds, if you look back to kind of see how am I doing, or if you're distracted with something that was going on earlier, what happens when people would look back is they would start to go crooked. And so they'd start to turn to the left or start to turn to the right. And what would happen then is that instead of staying in a straight lane, they would waste some space that what could have been two lanes is now only one. And so the problem with looking back is when a field could have reaped a certain amount of harvest, it's only going to reap a lesser amount of harvest. And so Jesus is saying, look, if you're going to follow me, I want to do amazing things through you, but you got to stay focused on this. Otherwise, you're not going to see the whole thing. You're going to be distracted. You're not going to really see what it's supposed to be. And some people follow Jesus but don't give their whole heart, and then they don't get what Jesus wants to give, and they give up on it, but it's because you weren't giving your whole heart, right? Or, you know, we want to see God use us, but we don't stay focused. And so God wants every disciple to stay focused and do your part so that as much fruit as possible can come through you and can come through us. Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of love, unity, and good deeds. Fruit of new people making Jesus Lord and the church growing. You know, we got to put our hand up and stay focused so we can yield as much fruit in our lives and in the ministry as possible. And so looking back or looking around is giving into distraction and turning your back on Jesus. And I know that none of you got baptized to not make it to heaven.
Wow.
And none of you got baptized to live a half-hearted Christianity and to not really make an impact. You know, you signed up to make it to the end, to make it to heaven. You signed up to make a difference along the way, and that's what Jesus wants you to have. And that's what a fit life is. It's a life focused on following Jesus and staying on task with that so you can be fit for service in the kingdom of God. And so this semester, we want to live a fit life to grow to be more like Jesus and to become spiritually fit to serve him the best way and to yield as much fruit as we possibly can. So Luke 9:62 is really the theme verse there. Anyone who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. And the question for you is, will you live a life fit for service in the kingdom of God?
Come on, Rob.
What do you want to see God do through you? How focused are you going to stay on following Jesus? And so you can open up to the book of Luke if you're there already, Luke chapter 1. You know, so to help us with Fit Life, we're going to be studying out the book of Luke. And so we're going to take the book of Luke and we're going to dig into this book for the next year together. Luke has got 24 chapters. It's a gospel focused on Jesus and all that he was and called us to be. And so to live a fit life, we got to look at Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so we're going to study out the book of Luke. And that's where we're going to start in Luke chapter 1 right now. And, you know, you're going to have on the sheet, emailed or texted or handed out ahead of time what we're going to look at in Luke every week.
Nice.
And I want to encourage you guys, read it ahead of time. You know, to read it again afterwards, to really dig in. And that by the end of this next year, you really have written Luke on your heart and on your mind. So that fit life isn't a semester thing, but a rest of your life thing.
Amen.
You know, this passage comes from Luke. And so we're going to study this book out. And it's filled with so much good stuff about how we can live for God and see who Jesus is in bigger and better ways. And so, you know, in a little bit, I'm going to share with you some goals and some visions that we have to... And then give us some time to pray together. We're definitely going to eat into some fellowship time by praying together tonight. But I did want to just kick us off here with digging into the first part of Luke. So is that cool with you guys?
Yeah.
So we're going to look at, let me see where we're at here. We're going to look at the first part of Luke and get us started on the path to a fit life. Amen?
Amen?
Let's read Luke 1, verses 1 to 4.
Come on.
So, you know, I plan on emailing you guys a little bit of like a... info on the book of Luke instead of taking time tonight to do it, like who wrote it, when do you write it, why do you write it, who do you write it to. We'll just email that and you can read it, okay? So it's cool information to know for context. And so we're going to start right here in Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. So Luke, a disciple who wrote this, starts out, he says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you have been taught." You know, Luke starts off here, and what's he telling us? He's saying, look, what we believe, the gospel, the kingdom we're serving and building, that what we believe is real. And it is true.
That's right.
It's true, it's real, and it is certain. That we're not making this up or wishfully thinking, hope we pick the right religion. Right? Hope we pick the right Lord, the right brand, right?
Yeah.
No, you could be sure of this.
Yeah.
I scoped it out, I checked it out, flipped it upside down and looked into it. And I'm telling you, you can believe this. You know, Luke writes this as a physician. He was not a dummy. He was a smart guy. He was a doctor. He writes this as a physician, a very intelligent man. And he says, look, I carefully investigated everything, cross-examined, heard from eyewitnesses, and then I took all of that and wrote this book as an orderly account for you for a purpose. I took all this in so that you may know the certainty of what you've been taught. And the obvious implication of that is that you would stand firm in what you believe. That you would give your whole heart to what you believe. You'd be proud of the faith that you have. And that you'd have deep conviction and strong beliefs. And so as we get through the rest of the book of Luke, he's saying at the beginning, look, everything you're about to read, I checked all of this out backwards, frontwards, sideways. This is real. This Jesus you're about to read about, he's real. He's who I'm about to tell you he is. And this man that you're a servant of, this as a servant of the word, that you've given your life to, you could be sure and certain about this as you live a life fit for service in the kingdom of God. You know, the book of Luke, this is a gospel, right? It's a book about Jesus, what he did, what he taught, who he is, who he was. And so, you know, that's why it's called a gospel. It's part of the good news about Jesus. The good news of salvation through Jesus and a life to the full in following him that he's offering us. You know, we know this, but the world needs Jesus. We needed Jesus, right? And so we have found him, and God's vision is for us to bring Jesus to the world like Luke is doing here. Let me tell you about Jesus, because I found him.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're here to do as well. And so, you know, tonight I want you to capture a vision for this semester, this year, this for your life, to capture a vision for your walk with God and how God is going to use you.
Amen. You know, what do you want to see? What's your vision? What do you want to see God do with you and through us? Thinking about it on an individual scale, what's my dream? What's my vision? And then, hey, what are we going to do together? You know, and so as we're not going to go through all of Luke chapter 1. It's long, but we're going to get into the next two parts of it here. And Luke starts out after this little blurb we read. He starts out with two visions, right? He's got two visions he gives us. And the first is a vision to Zechariah, who was a Jewish priest, who the vision was about Zechariah's son, John, who we know as John the Baptist, who would be a forerunner and messenger about the Messiah, Jesus, that was coming. And so that's the first vision, Zechariah about John, his son, who's going to be a forerunner for Jesus. Right. And then the second vision is to Mary, a young, engaged Jewish woman who God would miraculously impregnate, and that son would be the Savior of the world, King Eternal. And so these visions and their responses can teach us a lot about God's vision for us and how we can respond to them as well. So we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but I just want to give you a little inspiration from Luke 1 here about being filled with vision. You know, a fit life is a life filled with vision. You know, Luke starts off filled with vision here. And let's read the first vision, chapter 1, verse 5 to 25. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Come on, Rob.
Cool. It says, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
Wow.
Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." And so, you know, here's the first vision that we get to see. And I will go through this quickly, but I just want to give you a few little blurbs here of what we can learn from the vision of Zechariah and his response, and then apply to our own vision for our life.
Come on, Rob.
And the first is, well, what type of person and situation does God give vision to?
Wow.
Right, in verse 6, it says that these were upright, obeyed the commands of the Lord, were blameless before him. That God's eyes are roaming throughout the earth to strengthen those who are fully committed to him. And so if you're giving yourself wholeheartedly to God, and you're like Isaiah, "Here am I, send me," then you're setting yourself up to be someone that God has vision for. You know, these were two people who really devoted themselves to God, loved God, were trying their best. And so God says, "I could see using this couple." Right? So that's what we want to be, is people who are really obeying God and serving God and are righteous and are trying our best to please God.
Right.
so that we stand out to him as someone who says, look, I'm going to strengthen that man or woman and I'm going to use him or her. What we also see about the type of person or situation he uses is that it doesn't have to make sense.
Right.
Right after it says this about him, he says, look, they're old and so far not been able to get pregnant, but hey, you're going to have a kid. Right? And so this is what's cool too, is God can have vision for us even though it might not make sense. Who we are, our situation, what we've done, it doesn't matter. You know, if we're ready and willing to serve God and we love him, then he can use us. Right? And so the situation doesn't matter. And so if we need to have vision, we could see the type of person and situation God gives vision to. Someone who's fully committed to him. And look, situation doesn't really matter all that much if you've got that. Second thing we see about vision is that prayer is involved.
Yeah.
You know, it mentions prayer here. Your prayers have been heard. Those assembled outside were praying while he got the vision. You know, so God works when we pray. He's arranging things in the spiritual realm. And so if we want to capture vision, if we want to see our visions happen, then we need to be in prayer. We need to be assembled in prayer, praying privately, individually, putting prayers before God, asking God for visions for us, getting visions, and then praying for God to do them. You know, and the response to that then, if we're praying, is that we don't need to be afraid because God hears our prayers. He says, look, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayers. That's why you don't need to be afraid.
That's right.
And so if we pray and we know God hears us, then we can live courageously to live out those visions.
Right.
And so we see here prayer and vision go hand in hand. Next thing we see is that God has vision for us to be a messenger of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, just like everything that John did here later in the New Testament, God says every disciple can do.
That's right.
And can be and is called to do. John had a special role of being the forerunner and Jesus' cousin, right? But the things that John was called to do, we're all now called to do, really. We're all filled with the Spirit and called to tell people about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what's cool is we get to do what he did, and God has vision for us to be like John. But instead of telling people, hey, this is going to happen, we get to say, hey, this happened, which is an even better position to be in.
Yeah.
Right? And so I love what it says about John here. It says, many people will he bring back to the Lord.
Great.
He's going to turn the hearts of families back together. He's going to turn the hearts of the disobedient to be righteous. It says he's going to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And I believe that that's the same vision that God has for you. Right, that God has a vision for you to bring many people back to him. That God has a vision for you to turn the hearts of families back together. That God has a vision for you to help people disobedient to become righteous. That God has a plan for you to help people be ready for Jesus when he comes back. That there's a vision for you to be a messenger of Jesus just like John was. You know, the last thing I see here is that with vision, we need to make sure we believe and that we don't doubt like Zechariah. You know, he gets this vision and immediately he's like, how can I be so sure? Right? And I think it's easy for us to be like that, right? It's like we could think of something we want to see God do with him, be quick to kind of doubt or make excuses for it, right? And, you know, really what the angel says is, look, because you doubted, you're not going to be allowed to say anything until this happens, which, by the way, it is going to happen. Right? And so, you know, we don't want to suffer from doubt. We want to have faith so we could be able to speak as we do things, right? And obviously, we'll be able to talk, but, well, maybe not. I don't know if God wants to do this again. But, you know, we don't want to doubt. We want to really believe. And so don't doubt. You know, you got to believe, no, God has called me. He does have vision for me. He wants to use you. And that you could believe him, believe that he is with you.
Yep.
Instead of kind of our nature is to jump to doubting, reasoning, or rationalizing. Instead, we need to have faith. And so what doubts and questions are you battling right now?
All right.
You know, and how can you overcome them? Maybe you've got some vision, but you might be thinking, but I don't know if it's me that can do it. Or I have to change a whole lot first. Or maybe, you know, you've got some vision, but you're just doubting because of the past or past failure or things you've done or have happened in the past. Or maybe you're doubting because of your schedule and how busy you are. And you're like, I'd love to do something, but I don't got the time. Right? But we got to have faith. No, God can work with anybody and anything if we believe and if we're willing to be used by him.
Yeah.
You know, we can believe because God has called us. He hears our prayers. He's given us his Spirit. You know, what's cool too is we believe John was able to be used and he was Jesus' cousin. Right? And that's a close relationship. But what's cooler than that is the Bible says that we're Jesus' brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And so if John and Jesus were cousins, how much more could we expect as his brother and sister?
Yeah.
Right? So you got to believe God can use you. And look, I think Elizabeth understood that. You know, at the end of this in verse 25, she says, "The Lord has done this for me."
Yeah.
And that, instead of being like Zechariah and doubting, we want to be like Elizabeth and say, you know, God can do this. God has done this. God is doing this. She understood that. You know, she said, look, God has shown me favor. The truth is God is ready and willing to show you his favor as well.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to be like Zechariah and doubt. We want to be like Elizabeth and believe. Yeah. And so, you know, what I think is so inspiring is that you could be like John and be someone God really uses to help others. You know, that what was said about John in verse 14 could be said about you, right? Where it says he will be a joy and a delight and that many will rejoice because of him.
Right?
That's God's vision for you too, that you can be a joy and a delight and that many will rejoice because of you and the way that you let God use you and who you are in this world and in this ministry. And so we see this vision here to Zechariah about John the Baptist and with Elizabeth here. And so, you know, we can know from this that God has also called us to do something great. And so be thinking about, what is your vision? How do you want to see God use you to use your gifts, to help others become Christians, to help the ministry grow, to find your niche, to strengthen that disciple, to build that relationship and really figure out, how can I live fit for service in the kingdom of God and have vision in that? So let's go ahead and read the vision to Mary, the second one. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
Cool, we'll bring this in here and then we'll get some time to pray. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel, same angel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
Come on.
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God."
Let's go.
"I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. There's some inspiring stuff going on in here.
Right.
I think as we get an idea for, well, what does this say about God's vision for us and our vision and how to respond? The first thing I see here is this promise. Look, the Lord is with you.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. You know, Mary's troubled. She, you know, and just like her, we could be afraid of God's calling because it means maybe stepping out of our comfort zone, pushing ourselves, or really, really, you know, putting ourselves out there. But we got to know God is with us as we do this. The Lord is with you.
Yep.
You know, just like it says about her, God looks at you and says, look, you are highly favored. You know, the word favor is close to the word, to what grace means. You know, grace means to be in God's favor, right? And undeserved favor. And so we know we've been given God's grace so we can know we have God's favor. He wants to use you. He is with you. Right, so we could take confidence in that so we don't need to be afraid. You were picked on purpose.
Come on, bro.
God wants to use you. You know, the second thing I see here is, you know, in the vision for John, it was kind of a vision for God to use us. And here we kind of get a vision for what we're being used for, right? Like a vision for what we're building and who we're building for. It talks a lot here about Jesus. And it says some awesome things about Jesus.
Yeah.
It says, look, you're going to have a son, Jesus. And it says, he will be great.
Yeah.
The Son of God.
Yeah.
The Son of the Most High. He's going to sit on the throne and rule. He is King and he is God. He is going to reign forever. And his kingdom that he leads will never end.
Wow.
That is who we're building for. And that's the kingdom that we are building. And that should inspire us with our vision. That we're not building some rinky-dink, just waste of time thing, right? Like if I got up here and said, hey, I got this idea, and you're all sitting like, this is a terrible idea. And I'm like, let's all invest our time, effort, energy, let's sell this thing. And you're like, man, this stinks, right? No, we've got someone awesome in a kingdom that's awesome. And everything else we could invest in is going to end, but this kingdom that we're building is never going to end. The king we serve is never going to take away from the throne, right? And so what we're building and who we're building for is eternal. We're trying to be fit for service in the kingdom of God. And this is the king we're serving, and this is the kingdom we're building. And our response to that should be, man, what an honor. What a joy. What a responsibility. Let me take this wholeheartedly. You know, another thing we see is a vision to bring Jesus into the world. Mary did that very literally. She brought Jesus into the world. She was pregnant and gave birth to him, right? She literally brought Jesus. But isn't this also what we're called to do? Right? To help others be born again, right? We're here to bring Jesus to the world just like Mary was. Right? We might feel like, well, how can I do that? The Spirit will be with you.
Yeah.
And she's like, how am I going to do this? The Spirit will overshadow you.
Come on, bro.
And so God has a vision for you to bring Jesus to the world, to bring Jesus, to be a light to the world. And you know you could do that if you're a disciple because you've got the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So just like Mary brought Jesus to the world, God has vision for you to bring Jesus to the world. And perhaps one of the most iconic lines in here is verse 37, where he's like, look, your cousin Mary, she's already pregnant 6 months and she was barren. Look, God can do this. Nothing is impossible for our God.
Amen.
And I think as the semester starts and you're trying to have faith and vision, we've got to remember that nothing is impossible with God.
Yeah.
So as soon as the doubt creeps in or the excuses creep in, remember, no, I can change this because nothing is impossible with God. No, I can do this because nothing is impossible with God. No, God can still use me because nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
So we can have that conviction, nothing is impossible with God. She's like, look, but I'm a virgin. And that's thinking human ability versus spirit ability. Doesn't matter. God can still do this.
Yeah.
Nothing is impossible with God. And the last thing I'll say here is that we got to respond to the vision God gives us with willingness. She says, look, I am the Lord's servant. May it be done as you've said it be. And that's how we want to respond. God's going to call us to things. He's going to put vision on our hearts. And our response should be, I'm the Lord's servant. I am going to be fit for service in the kingdom of God. God, I'm willing. I'm ready. Sign me up. Let me do what you've called me to do. I'm going to put my hand to the plow and not look back. And so like Mary, we want to respond to the vision with willingness and servitude, believing it's going to be done just like you said it would. And so Luke starts out with two amazing visions that are given by an angel, right? And I think what we see here is that God was moving and working to do something miraculous, to use people to save and change the world. And this is the vision that God has for us as well. Right? God has a vision for you to be a mighty man of God like John, and for you to be a mighty woman of God like Mary. A vision to use you like John or to use you like Mary to bring Jesus and to be a light to the world.
That's right.
Right? He's got a vision for us to do this together as a family, just like they were a family. That they got a vision individually for you, Zechariah, for you, Mary, right? For you individually, but then also for us as a family. God's got vision for us and really needs all of us to do our part to see it happen. You know, this opening chapter, as I read this, I hope you felt this. It's just riveting with energy and with excitement and with enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Look, you're going to have a son. You thought you were barren, but you're going to have a son, John, and he's going to do awesome things for God. And Mary, you're not even pregnant yet, but you're going to be by the Holy Spirit, and your son is going to be the king of the universe.
Wow.
And he's going to save the world and do amazing things, and God's going to use you. And it's this chapter, if you see it, it's just riveting with God and His Spirit just stepping into humanity, right? And calling people to join Him in this great plan and vision He's got to bring light to the darkness in the world and to use our lives to do something incredible. You know, we got to be filled with vision, just like this opening chapter is filled with vision. God is filled with vision tonight. He's got a lot of stuff He wants to see happen with you and with us together. We've already seen Him doing that. We can know that because of what He's already done in our lives, right? But we got to be a fit life is a life filled with vision. And so what's your vision for how you want to see God use you in your life, but especially this semester and this year? And are you going to answer like Mary, I'm the Lord's servant, may it be done as you've said it would be.
Amen.
Now I want to encourage you, maybe you've got your vision already. Maybe you got to spend some time praying, talking to others, thinking about it, but come out with something on your heart, some gifts you've got, an idea you have, and something you really want to see God do through you. And so I do think it's important to have those individual visions. But it's also good for us to kind of have some goals and visions as a group to work towards together, right? And so I kind of want to put something out there that I think is really exciting. And so we'll do that and then take a few minutes and pray together. But here's kind of the vision for us to be filled with for this semester. And this is kind of an always a vision thing because it's a Bible thing. But what we'd really love to see, and when I say we, I kind of just mean all of us, is every disciple get wet. Right? That every disciple is going to get their arm, their hand, their legs in a body of water and help baptize somebody.
Come on.
But you maybe led the study. Maybe you're the one that brought them to Bible talk. You're the one who wrote the notes. You sat in the study. That in some way, every one of us over this next school year is going to help someone become a Christian. If this happened, we would grow past 100 in our ministry very quickly. But that every disciple gets to help someone become a Christian. You know, to help us start strong, we always have a big push for the kickoff week, right? So I want to talk for a minute about that. Kickoff week is the first week or so of the semester. And all the clubs are out there, the fraternity, everybody's out there trying to capitalize on this exciting time where people are fresh on campus, free, not sure what they're right, and figuring things out. And I think we, more than any other group or whatever, want to be out there saying, you know, we've got the most important thing going. Let's capture people's attention early on, right? And so, you know, we have a big goal that we want to put before God that's going to take every part doing its work. And it's not about the number. It's about the people that those numbers represent, right? And so sharing with 1,000 people isn't 1,000. That's so cool. It's 1,000 people got an opportunity to come hear about Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's why 1,000 is exciting. It's not some empty number. It's 1,000 people that represents.
Wow.
And so that's the mindset. That's the heart. This is not something to feel guilt about, pressure about. It's something to be inspired about. You know what? I'm going to do my best with my part, and together we can do this thing. And so, you know, an idea that that was brought up that I think is going to be amazing is that we not do just a one-week kickoff week, but a two-week to really keep the momentum going. And what's cool is in the book of Luke, Jesus feeds 5,000, right, and then soon after he feeds 4,000. And so what we want to put before God is a vision that the first week, next week, and the next week, Sunday to Sunday, that we together would share our faith with 5,000 people. And then the next week, the next Sunday to Sunday, we'd share our faith with another 4,000 people. And then at the end of the first 2 weeks, a collected 9,000 people will have been invited to either study the Bible, come to Bible talk, come to church, come to something. And I believe out of those 9,000, we're going to have hundreds of people to water and to share the word with. And I believe just like in the past, we're going to see multiple people become Christians through this. So you guys feel excited about trying to do this together? 5,000, 4,000. I just say it's going to take every part doing its work. So don't take time to pray about this. And think, God, what can you do with me? And to look at your week and plan time to go sharing and to figure out, what do I want to do? And, you know, we'll be at the end of each day kind of collecting how to go and keeping track of it so we can celebrate hitting this goal together. And then we'll head right into the LBI retreat, ready for some much-needed rejuvenation. And then ready to get back and have a lot of people to study the Bible with. But we're really wanting to be filled with vision and see God do something awesome. And I think this is going to help us do it. Something I'm honestly even more excited about to help each disciple get in the water is this initiative that we're doing called the Sending of the 72. Here's what's really cool. Is in the book of Luke in chapter 10, Jesus sends out 72 disciples in pairs. How familiar are you with this? So in Luke chapter 10, you could go read it. Jesus takes 72 disciples and says, pairs them up and sends them out to preach the word in all the different towns and villages. And so we're sitting down before we even knew Luke was going to be the theme or whatever. And I was looking at our ministry and realized we're starting with 72 people in our ministry. And I'm like, Jesus literally took 72 people, paired them up, and sent them out. And so with Fit Life as our theme, what we want to do tonight is to pair up every disciple in our ministry. And just like you'd have a gym buddy, every disciple, every one of us is going to have a fit buddy. And I'm spelling fit with a one in the middle. And your fit buddy, the idea here is we are going to find one together. And that you two are going to go out, and in the next year, this school year, you guys are going to find one together. And so, you guys excited about this?
Yeah!
And so everybody's going to Fit buddy. Here's what I want to say about this. Is it's kind of like discipling, right? It's like, okay, this is my discipling partner. It doesn't mean that's the only person you get help from, get advice from, go to, talk to, pray with. And your fit buddy, it's not like this is the only person you share with or in studies with. But kind of like with discipling, it's like, but at least for sure, we're going to. And so with your fit buddy, it's like, look, I'm going to be in studies with other people, sharing with other people, but we're going to do this together. And let's find somebody together. And so tonight, in a little bit, in just like 3 or 4 minutes, we're going to split up by family group, pray together for a little bit, and then within the family group, split men and women and huddle up. And you guys will get an opportunity to kind of pick your fit buddies together and write them down and stuff. And what you'll get to do is we're going to give you about 10 minutes with your fit buddy that you've got to do three things. You're going to pair, plan, and pray. So you've got 10 minutes. First, you're going to pair up. That should be quick. And then take 2 or 3 minutes and plan. And once you've got your fit buddy, what you're going to plan is, how are we going to do this? Right? Like, are we going to pray every week together at a certain time? Are we going to fast a certain day? Is there a certain time in the week where we can go sharing together every week to find someone that could study and say, hey, let's be in a study every Wednesday from 10 to 12 together. And we'll share during that time until we find someone. I'm just throwing ideas out there, but to plan, to fit. And you might need to talk more later, but just take 2 or 3 minutes and go, how are we going to do this? And that's why it might be good to pick somebody from the same school as you if you can. It would probably help. And then take the next 5 minutes or so and just pray together. And then we're going to, after you do that, we're all going to come back together and close out in prayer and song together. And so that's the kickoff week, the Fit Buddies. As you guys find people to study with together, definitely let your Bible Talk leader know so they can help you out. You know, you help you out with leading the studies and getting in there and helping. That's part of a Bible Talk leader's role is, you know, it says in the Bible, keep careful condition of your flock. And so the Bible Talk leader, it just help them out. Let them know, hey, we got a guy we're starting to study with. Hey, we got a girl. So that even if they're not involved, they can kind of know so they could, you know, be praying and giving you advice and stuff like that. But I think this is really going to help us to engage all of us in the work of the mission here. And so I'm really excited. You know, as we close out, I just want to read this last portion here. So Zechariah gets the vision, Mary gets the vision, and then let's read how Mary responds. It says in verse 39 of Luke, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.
Wow.
Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.
Wow.
You know, like Mary, it's time to hurry and get ready. You know, she got ready and hurried out, right? And so the semester's coming, and we gotta get ready. And this time to plan, to talk, to pray is a time to get ready.
Yep.
And to get time to kind of excitedly go forward with what God's doing and just in our guts, just leaping with joy as the Spirit is in us of what God is about to do. And that what Elizabeth said about Mary will be said about us after tonight as we pray and think is, man, blessed are you because you believe that God is going to do this through you. That you and your fit buddy, you're going to find somebody to say, you're going to find one together. That we're going to share with over 9,000 people these next 2 weeks. You know, that all the personal visions you've got of things in your character you want to grow in or ways you want to serve the church or help other people or your family, all those individual visions that are popping off around the room right now, that you're really going to be someone who believes, no, God can do this through me as well. You know, God's going to move, and so we want to move with him, put our hand to the plow, and by faith, not look back, but stay focused and see God do incredible things through us. So right now we're going to split up by family group. Like I said, we're going to eat in the fellowship time. It's 8:40. We usually end in about 5 minutes, so we're pretty much on time here. And so stay close by. East group, get together. Help out whoever's leading your group. Pay attention. Get together with them. East, Central, North, meet up. Take 10 minutes. You guys, I'll come up and say, hey, it's been 10 minutes. You guys will get 10 minutes for them to give any announcements and then pray together. And I encourage you, pray for unity and pray for spiritual growth. And then after 10 minutes, we'll come and say, okay, time to do Fit Buddies. And then stay with your family group, but split men and women. And you guys will huddle up separately.
Make all your partnerships, get all your buddies picked out and stuff, and then stay nearby, stay in the room or right here somewhere, and you'll get 10 minutes with your fit buddy to plan and to pray. And then I'll come back up and say, all right, guys, get back in here, and just like Mary, hurry back in here and get back to your seat. We're going to sing another song, and then we're going to have 5 minutes of just impossible prayers together. So it'll be short, but just 5 minutes of just impossible prayers, things that are in your heart that you want to see God do. We'll close out with one last song, and then what's really exciting is after that, we're going to see Nana baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we've got about another half hour to go here. Usually we're all here fellowshipping for that time anyway. So just give your heart and attention to this. Let's make this special and make it great. And so let's go ahead and split up by family groups. Let me just grab Kyrie and Marie. Where do you guys want all the Montclair and CCM people to go? All right, so central over here, and then Matt, Mark. All right, north group in this corner. She just said over there. Yeah, and then the East group go back by the door over there. All right, you've got 10 minutes starting right now.
Stop the timer, my recorder.